Good morning, everyone. If you'll stand as you're able, please. Today we're reading from John. I and the Father are one. I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, so that they can be one, just as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me, so that they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. That's John 17, verses 20 through 23. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The name of Jesus is beautiful, amen? Amen. Do you believe in Jesus? Good answer. And a safe question to ask in the middle of a church service. It really is. Although if you had answered don't know or no, I'm glad you're here. Believing in Jesus can mean a whole lot of different things. It could mean believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It could mean that Jesus is our Savior, because we need saving from our sins. It could mean that Jesus is Lord of our life, the center of how we live our life. And it could mean that Jesus is God, part of that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Trinity mystery. We sang about that earlier, didn't we? And holy, holy, holy. But one thing we also know is that understanding and believing in Jesus means that we are in a relationship. Amen? We are in a relationship with Jesus, and that relationship is transformative. In that loving relationship that we have, we also honor a call to follow the ways of Jesus. There's a technical name for a follower of Jesus. It's a disciple. And here at Harrisonville United Methodist Church, we have a mission to make more of those. More followers, more disciples of Jesus Christ. And we do that by living within a vision of connecting with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life in this church and in the community. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. I'm glad that you believe in Jesus. Those of you at home, I'm glad you do too. Again, if no or don't know, that's fine too. This series loves and honors the fact that there is a belief in Jesus. But as you could tell by the title, we're going to be stretching our faith. We're going to be stretching within our relationship to God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit by exploring what it means to not only believe in Jesus, but to believe like Jesus. Oh, yeah. Believing like Jesus. Believing like we see in the Gospels. What did Jesus believe, and how do we believe like Jesus? Now, the inspiration for this series comes from two people that I am honored to call friends and mentors, both ordained elders in the United Methodist Church. That's Reverend Rebecca Simon Peter. What a great name, right? Rebecca Simon Peter and Reverend R.J. Davis, two pastors in two different states. They put together a devotional called The 40 Days of Apostleship. Rebecca actually wrote it, and R.J. has added to it. And I'm going to share some insights from that devotional because I think they're very powerful and insightful for how we are to live our lives. The goal of this series that I hope you take to heart is that it will move us to continue to believe in Jesus, but move us to believing like Jesus, and in the process, from practicing our faith, living our lives as a disciple, to learning to live our lives as an apostle. I use the A word. For those of you that are nervous that I said the word apostle, because you might have heard that in conjunction with people starting churches or people going off into far off lands doing missionary work, let me reassure you, in the context of this series, an apostle is someone who simply believes like Jesus. And chances are that you are not called to start a new church or to go off into far a territory to share Jesus, although it would be awesome if you were. But that's not what it's about. This is to share what it means to believe like Jesus and to move our hearts, because I believe that as we start to believe like Jesus, that our hearts are so transformed that church, individually and as a church, we are going to be able to accomplish for Jesus things that we haven't thought possible before. It's a worthy goal, isn't it? So today, the first belief of Jesus that we're going to talk about, that Jesus truly believed in, was that he believed that everything that he said and everything that he did, every word, every deed, every good work, he said and did through God the Father. He was in a divine partnership with God. And what we're going to talk about today is how we too are invited to be a part of a divine partnership with God the Father through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's another way of talking about what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And how can we be one in that effort? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. You know that song? I heard some of you singing along. I love that song. Every church, we've sung that song. Spiritual retreats without number, we have shared that song together. I love it. But is it true? Do people who don't know Jesus, the world, do they know us by our love? Well, in my heart, I think sometimes they do. Thinking about today, this anniversary of a tragedy, part of my memory is what happened afterwards. As we were dealing with that tragedy, how people came together, as Christians came together, churches became full for a time. But even more than just worship centers filling up, you saw people live out their faith by helping others. Whether it was their vocation to do so as a first responder, or whether it's just people just in their normal lives just seem more sensitive to one another, just really seem to reach out, and barriers were broken down in that time. And although that period of where everybody seemed to come together, it didn't last forever, there were remnants of that did. In the United Methodist Church in the Missouri Conference, on the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 tragedy, the United Methodist Churches all over the state became part of something called Serve 2011. I wasn't here. I don't know if you all were a part of that. The church I was serving did. We didn't have worship that day. Worship was to go out and to help people out in the community. And we served schools, and we painted and built on homes, and we did all sorts of things. And we had Serve 2012 and Serve 2013, and then things started to fade again. But every once in a while, there is something about us coming together that the world can see that we love. And it's not just 9/11, of course, it's all of the events that we are part of. When we serve at the food pantry here in Harrisonville, people can know us by our love. When we partner with our schools through Bright Futures, then people can know us by our love. But not everybody knows us by our love. I Googled, what do people think about Christians? And, there's a lot. People are not quiet about what they think about Christians. I think there was a plethora of surveys to look at. But one that caught my eye was one that was very recent that just was put out in July from Tom Rayner, who's a researcher. This was from an article in July for ChristianLeader.com. It says, what non-Christians really think about Christians. And I want to share these briefly with you because there are some that, I could see that. And there are some that really surprise me. So there are only seven here. One, Christians are against more things than they are for. We're mad at the world, negative, and we seem unhappy. I'm afraid there are some posts on social media and other places where it seems like that sometimes. Number two, I would like to develop a friendship with a Christian. And part of the anecdotal response was, I wish I could find a Christian who would be willing to spend time with me. Number three, I would like to learn the Bible from a Christian. And anecdotally, the Bible fascinates me, but I don't want to get caught up in all the technical mumbo jumbo. It would be nice if a Christian invited me to study the Bible somewhere. Number four, I don't see much difference in the way Christians live compared with others. Ouch. Number five, I wish I could learn to be a better spouse or parent from a Christian. Number six, some Christians try to act like they have no problems. I know that's why some people don't come to church, because they feel like they have no problems to be here. Number seven, I wish a Christian would take me to his or her church. I really would like to visit a church. This is anecdotally now. I really would like to visit a church, but I'm not particularly comfortable going by myself. Some of those surprise you? Some of those probably didn't surprise you? We're a work in progress, aren't we? But here's some good news. We are God's work of love, always. And God, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, is doing a work in us so that we can grow in love. And part of that is to embrace a partnership with God, to be a part of what God is doing in this world to transform this world in love. The way that John, the evangelist John, shares Jesus' story, you begin to hear Jesus sharing the importance of this partnership with God. Now, a long time ago, in winter, in Jerusalem, Jesus and his followers happened to be at an event known as the Feast of Dedication. It's Hanukkah. And they were there celebrating together, but they weren't alone. Jesus' opponents were there too. And in the midst of that celebration, Jesus' opponents go, come on, Jesus, come on. Tell us. Are you the Messiah? And Jesus answered them. They didn't like his answer. He said something to the effect of, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me because you're not a part of the flock that my Father, the Father, has put in my charge. I and the Father are one. What do you think their response was? Do you think they bowed down and go, "You are Lord"? They bowed down, all right. They bowed down and they picked up rocks because they were going to stone Jesus to death for blaspheming. Now, Jesus, in the midst of all that, debated with them and came to a point where Jesus says, even though you can't understand what I'm saying to you, you can't believe me, cannot you believe the works that I have done that you have seen that prove that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Now, I'm going to put a pin in our story here to ask you a question. Does what Jesus say during this Hanukkah celebration, does it offend you? No. Because we're reading this from the other side, aren't we? You said you believe in Jesus. And not only that, we have this understanding that Jesus is God, right? And that Jesus is part of this thing as Trinity. We have this view of Jesus when we're reading this, right? So we're having a hard time understanding Jesus' opponents here. Well, let me challenge you to strip back your understanding here, because this is not how John is telling Jesus' story. Because the understanding of Jesus as Trinity, the evangelist John wouldn't have had that understanding. The word Trinity is not in our Bible. It comes from prayerfully reflecting on the scripture through centuries and through decisions of Christian councils. What Jesus is saying in John when he says, I and the Father are one, is the Father and I are one in loving relationship. And not only that, the Father and I are one in the work that we do. Jesus' words and Jesus' works are all done because of Jesus' relationship with the Father. Do you get me? By the way, Jesus was able to get away from his opponents that day. They weren't able to stone him. But several months later, the time had come where Jesus knew that he wasn't going to be able to get away from what the opponents had in mind. Because the time had come for his passion to happen. And the passion is a word that we use to express Jesus' arrest, his imprisonment, his torture, his death on a cross. Jesus knew it was coming. Jesus would say in John, it's to show the glory of the Father. And what Jesus did is he brought all of his followers together and they had a final meal together. And at that meal, you know what Jesus did? He washed their feet. And then Jesus broke bread with them. And then, right before Jesus and his followers went to that garden that's in the Valley of Kidron, Jesus had a prayer. And he not only prayed for his followers, but he prayed for us too. Can you believe it? Father, I'm not praying only for them, but also for those who believe in me because of their word. I pray they will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I pray that they also will be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me so that they can be one just as we are one. I'm in them and you are in me so that they will be made known, they will be made perfectly one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you love me. Beautiful prayer. Some understandings that I received from some scholars I read was that this is a prayer for all who would believe in Jesus from the teaching that has come to them. That's us, friends, and all those that have come from the centuries since this final meal. And that not only would we believe in Jesus, but we would have a relationship with God through Jesus in such a way that we would come together as community. But this community is not intrinsic to us ourselves. This community happens because of the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Do you hear that? There is no one in community unless it is based in the we of Father and Son. Because that love between Father and Son, then we love and we form community together. And because the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in us, then we too are invited to be a part of a divine partnership together. Isn't that great news? Challenging news, I would think. In some ways, it seems like it makes sense because it's another way of saying, I'm following Jesus. By partnering with Jesus and God and Holy Spirit. But I want to push this a little bit. Rebecca Simon Peter has offered two daily disciplines to help us to realize just how special this divine partnership is. So I'm going to offer these to you. Are you ready? One is to think of the words we heard in John 10:30. I and the Father are one. Think about that verse. That's one of those ones you can memorize, right? Now every day, I want to invite you to personalize that. Let me give you an example. When I get up tomorrow morning, I will say, I, Kevin, and the Father are one. Does that sound weird? Does that sound kind of crazy a little bit? It did for me. It still does a little bit, but I'm kind of beginning to accept that. What this invitation is not to say that you're being mapped into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit like you are God. I want to be very clear about that. What that means is that when you say I, and then your name, I, Helen, or I, Kathy, or I, Jeff, or I, Lori, thank you guys for being examples. When you say that every day, what you're saying is, I am with you, God, that every word that I say and every action that I do comes from you. Not from me, but from you. So I invite you to that spiritual discipline. Every day, to begin every day, I, and then what's your name? Don't say state your name. That I and the Father are one. Open your heart to that understanding. Your head's going to say, nah. Open your heart. What your heart says. Second spiritual discipline is this. All the good things at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, I and the Father are one. At the end of the day, I invite you to kind of make a list. What have I done over the day that has honored God? Honor Jesus, honor the Holy Spirit. Write that down. Maybe you prayed for somebody. Maybe you served at the food pantry. Maybe you held the door open for somebody. Any place where you have served. Write down everything that you have done. And then celebrate it. And again, I want to be clear here. This isn't doing this, oh, how good I am. This is not an ego thing, because let me tell you the truth, there is nothing good you could have done had God not been a part of it. What you're doing in writing these down and celebrating them is realizing the divine partnership that you have with God and being grateful for what God has done. John Wesley, our founder of the Methodist faith tribe long ago, this was part of his practice, to look back on his day to see how he has served. And I loved how John expressed the relationship that we have and the things that we do for God in a wonderful message called On Working Out of Our Salvation. He wrote in 1787 or something. John Wesley has this quote. He said, God works, therefore we can work. God works, therefore we must work. Friends, I invite you to take on those spiritual disciplines to help you and to help all of us to truly begin to believe as Jesus believed in a divine partnership with God. That's what Jesus' followers did. Jesus' followers were able to do amazing things in the Gospels when he sent them out on mission, right? They were able to cast out demons, to cure illnesses, heal people, to proclaim the gospel. In the book of Acts, they take on this new name, apostles. And they're basically doing the same thing. And what they're doing, friends, is they're doing the things that Jesus did. And why? Because they did more than believe in Jesus. They believed like Jesus. William Barclay shares this. He says, Jesus was one with God because he loved and obeyed God perfectly. And Jesus came to this world to make us what he is. I love that statement. And again, it's not saying that we are to become God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. What it's saying is we are part of what God, Jesus, Holy Spirit are doing in this world in divine partnership together. Because as Barclay would say, we are bound by love as Christians and by obedience to Jesus' word. So friends, I invite you to take on these disciplines. I invite you to consider what it means in your life to be in a divine partnership with God. Because here's what's going to happen. Your heart's going to be transformed, and I'm excited by how your prayer life is going to change. How all the different things you've done, we're going to be able to accomplish so much more than we ever thought was possible. I've been in churches for a long time now. Sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? Oh, we can't do this. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Amen? So I invite you to believe like Jesus in this divine partnership. Will you pray with me? All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.